Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. You're obviously very, very nostalgic this weekend. Lots of people were responding to that interview with Terry Christian. One of our listeners said, really great to hear Terry's perspectives on class and how sometimes not getting the gigs that the posh public school boys get makes it all the sweeter when things go right. In the end, I have to say, I really enjoyed chatting to him. It is now time for The Watchlist, our weekly and discerning look at the latest film and TV releases for the week ahead. And I'm joined by the very discerning Gráinne Humphreys from the Dublin International Film Festival and Andy Carroll, host of the Extra Vision podcast. You're very, very welcome to the show. It's kind of a weird time of year because we're not into full season. So there's a lot of strange things happening. But Andy, The Life of Chuck is out next Wednesday and it's being billed as the feel-good movie of the year. I don't usually associate Stephen King with feel-good stuff.
Yeah, it's a kind of a mix of that because he has done things like Stand By Me, which you can't say was feel-good, even though the premise is a bunch of school kids going to find a dead body. This kind of falls more into that as well. And it does, the premise of it sounds very Stephen King. The world is in disarray. There's all these talks of natural disasters. A mysterious billboard pops up thanking Chuck for 39 years of service. So we're kind of curious as to why. It does sound very sinister. And then it takes a turn where it's actually this really sweet, really life-affirming film, which again, you wouldn't really expect from Stephen King or Mike Flanagan, who directed Haunting of Hill House and Fall of the House of Usher. Again, very violent, very terrifying series on Netflix. Really, really enjoyed it. It was very, very nice. Just a lovely film, and especially kind of the antithesis to blockbuster season as well.
Good. Gráinne, I was just saying, everything is sort of about nostalgia or things coming back. Central Station is a film originally out in the late 90s?
It was, 1998. And I actually remember it in the old screen. And it was an old Miramax film. So it had, its trailer had a voiceover that gave nothing away that it was actually all, you know, set in Rio de Janeiro and around Brazil. And, you know, was not in the English language. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, right. It's a masterpiece. And Walter Salles, now well known as an acclaimed Brazilian director of many, many shows and films. But with this film, the story of a woman who passes her day writing letters for those who can't write, to loved ones, to family members, to business partners. And she comes in contact, I'm not going to reveal too much, with a little boy who loses his mother. And they go off on this road trip where they're going to try and reunite him with her father, with his father. And it is the most beautiful film. And just rewatching it again, I don't know if you've done this recently, rewatching something again that is as powerful as this. There, Fernanda Montenegro, who is the woman, is incredible. She was nominated for an Oscar and it maybe in a way started the whole energy around Brazilian cinema. But it's a beautiful story, very simple. It's about a cynical older person learning to love life again through an interaction with a young boy.
We need
a
little bit of a feel-good factor. Another oldie but goodie return to the big screen, Andy, Spinal Tap. Do you get nervous when you see incarnations of classics?
Yeah, I was worried when I saw the second one was coming out. But the thing that gives me a bit of hope for this is the core cast of Spinal Tap have been making films together for years. Things like Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, A Mighty Wind. And all of them have been really, really good. And it's directed by Rob Reiner. You talk about someone who's had like a generational run, like things like When Harry Met Sally, Few Good Men. The trailer looks funny. The cameos are kind of on the right side. I'm
Garth
apprehensive.
Brooks.
Garth Brooks, yeah. Thankfully not cancelling Crow Park again. But I'm hopeful, but you know, I'm ready to be hurt again because there's so many of these legacy sequels and then you go in and just think that was absolutely garbage.
Protect your wee heart there. Another older film, Gráinne, another one again that's returned to the multiplex. Princess Mononoke?
Yeah, so this is a year earlier. It's 97. And this is from, I mean, one of the great animation, I suppose, directors, the person who's kind of the Ghibli studio and a director who's kind of changed, I think, animation as the way that we view it and the stories and the subjects. This is effectively a kind of story about a young warrior who kind of accidentally falls into a feud. I'm being very, very simplistic about this, between the Iron Town and Princess Mononoke, who was raised by wolves and wants to keep the forest and nature as it is. So it's a kind of it's a kind of film about environmentalism. It's
Avatar-y kind of.
It's amazing, amazing film, and it's been restored. It's in 4K. It's bloody. It's rich. rich. It's incredible characters. It's about 2 hours long, but it will fly past. Revisiting again, and both times I kind of went, I really want to see these on the big screen. And I'm so delighted that these films are coming out. They are available on other platforms, so please take the chance to get to see them on the big screen.
There's something
about going IMAX in Cineworld.
To the cinema. Andy, a documentary about the actor Jussie Smollett. Remind me of this controversy again.
So he was an actor on Empire, and it came out he was attacked during a snowstorm in Chicago by by two men who threatened to basically string him up. It came out then maybe he wasn't exactly telling the truth. He had actually hired two extras from the show and was caught on CCTV basically rehearsing it beforehand. It went to trial, and now he's come out and kind of said, no, I'm actually telling the truth. So I'm very curious to see what way, with the avalanche of evidence against him, the fact he was actually convicted of it as well, what his side of the story is going on. I'm fascinated to sit down. One, will he admit to it? And two, if he doesn't, what actually is the truth?
Well, I look forward to that. As Nora Ephron said, everything is copy. Grainne, In Flight on Channel 4. Everybody's talking about it.
Oh, this is great fun. So I talking to Jen, said, yeah, no, I'll watch it. It's on Channel 4. And myself and the partner sat down to watch it, and just, it goes like a bullet. So a phone call to a mother, finds out that the son's in jail. It's in Bulgaria. It was involved in a bar fight. Fast forwards to he's now in prison, and she suddenly is visited by gangsters who say, I'm going to kill the son unless he starts smuggling drugs, because she is an air steward. And it suddenly turns into all of those films about people not wanting to do something but doing it because of the love of the child. It's layered in brilliant ways. Catherine Kelly, who I didn't know for my sins, is brilliant as the woman who literally faces a flight out of Bangkok. And I all went, oh no, Bangkok, no, that'll be impossible, right? It's also a relationship between a mother and a son. Does she really know him? Is he really worth doing all
that's
of these
really
things for her?
That's really interesting, because books and everything about the drug mule can be nearly at risk of sort of becoming a trope. It's sort of quite a popular thread. I know that you've both been watching Butterfly, which is the new South Korean sort of American drama on Prime. Andy, you're not a fan.
No, me and Grainne nearly came to blows in the waiting room about this. I thought it was absolutely dreadful. It's like somebody put Born, Killing Eve and a cooking show into ChatGPT, and this is what you had. The dialogue is made for people who weren't watching it. They're on their phone, because every line of dialogue is like, yes, I have been missing for 9 years. I am your father. I am back in your life. You have not seen me in that period of time. I was like, she knows this. Why are you telling her?
And Grainne, you give us, what's the opposite take? What's the opposite view?
Oh, no, I just thought, to be honest, it had a 12-minute opening action sequence, and I thought, oh, this is kind of clever. And I liked the fact that it was set in Seoul. I liked the characters. Anything that has Piper Parabo from Coyote Ugly as a baddie is good in my books. Now, I've only done 2 episodes. How far did you suffer?
Oh, I got halfway through.
Oh, well, there you go.
The fact that it's set in Seoul, the reason for that is because that's the one place where Amazon doesn't have a foothold in, and they've made this show to try and get people to buy Prime.
Yeah. It's interesting, because Grainne, you're being very kind and giving it a good shout out, but I don't think Andy agrees this week. But I'm afraid you're going to have to take it outside, because that is all we have time for this afternoon. Grainne Humphrey, and Andy Carroll, thanks for joining us. You can listen back to all of the conversations from today's show on the RTÉ Radio app or wherever you get your podcast. Today's show was produced by Ailish O'Shea. The series producer is Tessa Delahanty, and research was by Jen Gannon. Senan Cullinan was the broadcast coordinator, and Kieran Dunn was unsigned. Stay tuned for This Week with Jackie Fox.